Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. I'm going to begin the programme this evening with an overture by a composer who's, I think, hardly, maybe twice, appeared in this series in the last 5 to 6 years. This is the English composer, mainly popular in the 20s and 30s, John Foulds. It's a bright and breezy overture called La Cabaret. Now, Foulds didn't really write a lot of what we would call British light music, but a lot of his music is very attractive, very listenable too. It's very colourful, very rhythmic. He was a bit of an enfant terrible, though, of English music, not entirely approved of by the establishment, and by no means as popular as, say, the composers such as Eric Coates or Owen Hayden would, of course. And slightly looked upon with suspicion by the more sort of serious composers. Nevertheless, his music is full of amazing things. I would love to hear his World Requiem, which reputably is one of the largest, grandest and most spectacular choral works ever written. I regret to say I have not heard a note of it. I don't think it's ever been recorded, and I think maybe it was broadcast once. I'll have to try and track some of it down. It will be fascinating to hear. So, John Foulds, an interesting character, not entirely approved of, but a wonderful composer. Here, then, is the overture, La Cabaret.
Thank you.
overture Le Cabaret by John Folds, and as you will have guessed there, that was taken from a live performance at a Promenade concert. A very fine piece that, well into the genre which we know and love on this programme, British Light Music, but not typical of his work. You may know the Celtic Lament, which comes from a three-movement suite. The symphony orchestra here have played it several times as an encore, and it's a very, very lovely piece. So we need something just to calm things down from all that hearty breeziness, and we turn, therefore, to the music of Louis Spohr, a favourite composer of mine. He was a contemporary of, just about everybody, really. He was born about the time that Mozart was writing The Marriage of Figaro, and he lived long enough to travel by train to hear Wagner's Lohengrin. So he was certainly a young composer when shortly after Mozart had died, but when Haydn was at the very height of his powers, the young Beethoven was making a noise in Vienna. Within his very long life come the entire lives of Beethoven, Schubert, Weber, and many others as well. His music was much admired by such composers as Wagner and Dvorak and Brahms. He wrote music in all genres, particularly oratorio. There are four oratorios, and three of them were premiered in England at the Norwich Triennial Festivals. And before the advent of Mendelssohn with his Elijah, Spohr's were the most performed and most admired oratorios performed in England at the big choral festivals. And it's a pity we don't hear them. Calvary, for example, from the mid-1830s, is a remarkably moving choral work, and well within the scope of some of our choral societies, for example. But that's another story. Spohr also wrote symphonies, concertos, a huge amount of chamber music, songs, sacred works, and many operas. But he also wrote a number of pieces for the harp and for the harp and violin. And this is the repertoire we're going to dip into this evening. Spohr's first wife was a famous harpist, Doretta Schiedler. And for her, he wrote a number of solo pieces for harp, but also these wonderful sonatas and things for harp and violin, including two very fine concertos for that combination. Spohr was quite clever, really. When he was courting the young Doretta, he very skillfully managed to write something for her for harp and violin, which gave him an excuse to practice with her as often as possible. And to keep her mother on side, he wrote her a fabulous aria. She was a court singer at Gorta, so he wrote for her a wonderful aria, and from then on things went well. They had a great career together and toured extensively with the harp and violin works. She died in the mid-1830s from a nervous illness. Spohr did marry again after about a year, and his second wife was a pianist for whom he also wrote a great deal of music, piano trios, piano quintets and things like that. But it's the harp works that we're most interested in. Let's just get a flavour of one of these wonderful pieces. This is the Larghetto from the Sonata in G Major, Opus 115, for harp and violin by Louis Spohr. Thank you. The lovely Larghetto from Spohr's Sonata for Violin and Harp in G major, opus 115. Now, all of Spohr's music for harp and violin and for solo harp has been recorded, so it's quite easy to go online, as we all do these days, and look out something interesting like that. Beautifully written and beautifully played. Now, I don't think I've ever played an extract from one of the most famous pieces of music ever written, which of course is Vivaldi's Four Seasons. I don't know how this has happened. Maybe an odd movement crept in, maybe autumn or something a few years back. But let's hear two movements now from the most appropriate of the Four Seasons, which of course is summer. I'm going to play the lovely slow movement and the finale. These are Vivaldi's most popular group of concertos, just four of them, of course. They come from a set of 12, and of those 12 are one set amongst some 600 other individual concertos. He was very, very prolific and wrote concertos for just about every instrument that was available to him, some which were virtually obsolete, and some, such as the clarinet and the horn, which were emerging as new instruments in the orchestra. So an interesting composer. Amongst the Vivaldi's most interesting concertos are the ones for multiple groups of instruments, and I have played one or two of those in the past. So, well, let's make up for not playing something from the Seasons. Here then is the slow movement followed by the finale from Summer by Vivaldi.
Thank you.
Two movements there from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, the third concerto, Summer. And it was played there for us by Iona Brown. The two movements there, the slow movement was meant to depict, obviously, a very warm, sleepy summer day with hints of thunder in the distance. And then, of course, in the last movement, we get the deluge of a summer shower. Vivaldi compiled poems for all of each of the four seasons, and they're quite interesting, and the music follows the lines of the poems very exactly. So, two movements then from Summer. And now a song, and a song by Mahler, Gustav Mahler. It comes from a collection of songs of his called Des Knaben Wunderhorn, Youth's Magic Horn. And this one is called Where the Beautiful Trumpets Play. And it's a dialogue, really, between a dead soldier and his sorrowing sweetheart. Well, I know it sounds a bit grim, but actually this is a most wonderful and moving song. Wo die schönen Trompeten blasen, by Mahler.
Mädchen stand auf und ließ ihn ein. Sie heißt ihn auch willkommen sein.
A lovely song there by Mahler from the series of songs that he wrote based on the poems Des Knaben Wunderhorn, Youth's Magic Horn. Now, you may know that song in its orchestral version. He did orchestrate a number of these songs, but it's good to hear it in the sort of original piano version. It highlights some of the pangs there in the harmony that you can hear. Even if you can't bear the thought of listening to a Mahler symphony, certainly the songs are well worth exploring. And now we get to a rhapsody. This is a Welsh rhapsody by Edward German. It's based on a number of Welsh traditional tunes, some of which I've never heard. For example, Loudly Proclaim O'er Land and Sea, I confess I don't know that. Hunting the Hare, I do know. The Bells of Avadavi, David of the White Rock, of course, and Men of Harlech. All these well-known tunes are woven into this piece. I suppose it's Edward German's answer to something like Vaughan Williams' Norfolk Rhapsody or Gustav Holst's Egdon Heath. It's a wonderful piece. It's a sort of piece you sort of sit back, close your eyes and relax. Beautifully scored, a very peaceful, relaxing piece. Edward German's Welsh Rhapsody.
Thank you.
A splendid piece, that, Edward German's Welsh Rhapsody, and it makes one long to hear some of his other orchestral works, such as the Norwich Symphony and such pieces as that. So, now, the name Saulieu Alexander William Oliphant Chuckabutty will, I think, not be familiar. Better known as Oliphant Chuckabutty, he was probably of Indian extraction, and his name was Chakrabarty, but he got himself, or his name got itself anglicised, not surprisingly, perhaps. Oliphant Chuckabutty. Now then, he was, by day, a church organist of some distinction, and by night, a cinema organist of some distinction. He had a rather unusual dual career, and he wrote mainly organ music. I mean, he's not very well known today, and I've only managed to find one piece by him, I think, to play for you. And this is an odd piece because, as I say, most of his music was for organ. This is one of the few pieces that were actually written for orchestra. It's called Fauns and Satyrs. Fauns, of course, being the good guys, handsome, gentle, innocent creatures. And the satyrs, of course, were hideous, hairy monsters, little eyes and huge mouths. Oh, I'm getting a little picture crept into my mind of, was it a politician that's perhaps been in the news lately? I can't bring the name. No, I think I must be mistaken. Anyway, Fauns and Satyrs by Oliphant Chuckabutty.
Thank you.
Fauns and Satires by Oliphant Chuckabutty. And that brings us to the end of the programme. I hope you've enjoyed my selection this evening and will join me next Thursday at 9. Something to play us out with, Eric Coates, A Waltz, Lazy Night. Goodbye.